Someday soon.
Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Denise. I'm so excited. I have Kathleen O'Toole co-hosting with me today, and I've had Howard Flam on before, and I could not wait for the two of them to meet each other. So Kathleen, meet Howard. Howard, meet Kathleen.
Hi, Howard.
Kathleen, how are you? It's a pleasure.
Nice to meet you.
Likewise.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So I feel like we're having like a party during the pandemic because it's the month of love. It's February. Howard, we just did a show on the Ascension called The Legacy of Love. And I feel like when I got a great text from you showing me a picture of celebrating your grandma's 100th birthday,
yes,
I got so excited and I felt so much love.
Absolutely. She's wonderful. She's a real gem in my life.
Well, and you know what's so special too, Kathleen, talking about all different types of friendships and love and it being February, I've known Kathleen Howard since we were 10 years old.
Wow.
Right?
That's some friendship love right there.
Yeah. Yes. And then I want the two of you. I mean, you know, we know who we are on paper. We can read all the bios. I'll put that in there. But, you know, Kathleen, I remember Kathleen when she was in fifth grade and we were in this program together, the gifted program. And I remember you're not going to believe this really dates our age. She got picked to do this computer class and I didn't. And I was so upset.
So Howard, there were so few computers and it was such a treat to like get to touch a computer that there was a little lottery and I won the little lottery and Dr. Denise didn't. And we still talk about it many years later.
Those older computers, because I remember I was there myself. They have the green glow on the monitor.
Oh yeah. Green glow, baby.
Yes.
So the cool thing about the two of you is you guys are Kathleen and you kind of have a Florida connection. So Kathleen, do you want to tell a little bit about the work you've done in Florida and a little bit about who you are? And then Howard, like, I know who Howard is, but just like, I mean, it's...
Well, I don't, so I'm excited to meet him. So I know that Howard has a Miami connection, and
yes,
so do I. I went to university in Miami, and I think probably some of our time there overlapped. Where did you live, Howard, about town?
I lived in Kendall and Coconut Grove. I grew up in Miami.
And what high school did you go to?
Miami Sunset Senior High School.
Ah, Sunset. Yep. So I didn't go to high school. Denise and I are from Chicago, but I went to the University of Miami, which is in Coral Gables, Florida. And it's very lovely. And Denise has visited me there when I was a young college student. And afterwards, when I was a young up-and-coming professional, I worked at a local TV station, probably one you watched when you were a kid. Like, you were born in Miami.
I moved there when I was 5 from New York. So, you know, I grew up there for 30 years. And Dr. Denise debriefed me. You were on WPLG Channel 10 in Miami. I remember it well.
Right. So, right. And I enjoyed my time in Miami. It was such a great place to be. I met a lot of, you know, Miami Beach back then, Howard, you can tell the story about how different it is than it is today. I mean, it was a place for our elderly population.
It was, I guess, you know, from the heyday with the Art Deco era, when all those beautiful hotels were constructed, it fell into despair and they were vacant. It was a ghost town for years. And then they turned them in. Now they call them assisted living facilities. But back then it was truly like an old age home because they were, you know, not prepared for ADA. They didn't have any programs. It was just old people that would be out on the balcony looking at the ocean, which was beautiful, but very different use for what the South Beach nightlife is like.
Right. I just remember. Yes, Denise.
No, I was just going to say, listening to both of you, I was thinking about how excited I am. I know that Kathleen's years as an Emmy Award-winning news reporter, and then Howard's as a comedian, producer, director. He just released a book, Wings to Fly. I was thinking and tuning in this morning when I was meditating. I'm like, oh my God, I'm having like a party today. I get to introduce Howard and Kathleen, and then we get Grandma Helen. And I was thinking, what do these people have in common? And I feel like your heart energy, Kathleen and Howard, like you both love telling stories in your own unique, gifted way. And you're both very family oriented, and you both love children. You're both champion of children. And so I just like, I wanted to make sure the two of you got to say hello before we call Grandma. Cause I'm like really grateful for both of who you are in the universe.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
So let's talk Grandma Helen. I'm so excited.
Okay. But can you tell us a little bit about Grandma Helen before we call her?
Sure. So my grandma, and you're right. So in December, she turned 100 years old. We had this fantastic Zoom video birthday party with like 50 relatives from all over the country. And there were, you know, family at her home, and it was cake and food and everything. And, you know, we, you know, produced this video of all the relatives, you know, just sending their warm wishes. So it was just really fantastic to, you know, to the next best thing to being there, you know, during these times. But, you know, my grandma's always been a really strong inspiration for me. And, you know, as I was growing up as a teenager, so even though I grew up in Miami, I would go back to New York often to visit my grandparents. And my grandfather's been, you know, gone for a little while. But they own together a wedding ring manufacturing company in New York City. And it's the only thing my grandfather ever did. He worked his business for 50 years, from 1935 to 1985. So wow. I learned a lot about tenacity and drive and entrepreneurship. And I would spend each of my summers as a teenager in New York living with them and going into the city every day, commuting in usually by subway. And it really defined for me, myself, getting into business and different ventures. It was really like my foundation. And my grandmother just really showered us all with love. And, you know, she'll go on and on. She'll tell you everything.
So one thing I was thinking right before when you guys were talking about old school Miami and the homes and how some of the elders are just like looking out at the ocean, I thought it was so interesting because I just interviewed Amy Newmark, age is just a number, and we're going to call Grandma Helen now. My Grandma Marge, who's in the other realm, has the spirit like of tenacity and youth. And I think your grandma at 100, when I saw her energy and her love, and we're going to call her right now, I just thought, wow, I want to meet this lady. And Howard is like, okay, let's do it. So, and Kathleen's like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. So should we call her?
Let's do it.
Okay, here we go. Oh, by the way, Grandma Helen and I spoke yesterday, so I already love her. Here we go.
Hello?
Grandma Helen, it's Denise McDermott. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. So what did you think of your interview of me yesterday? I heard you interviewed me.
Oh, I heard you were very interesting.
Oh, my God.
Today it's your turn.
What an understatement.
Okay, just so you know, Helen. Okay, so first of all, I'm so glad I got to meet you already. I love your grandson. It's Kathleen O'Toole on the line and Howard. We're all here. It's like a Grandma Helen party.
Hi there.
Oh, I'm missing out on a party?
You're in the party. You are
the star of the party.
Yeah, you just jumped out of the cake and you don't even know it.
What is it, injected in me?
Laughter's the best medicine, right?
Right. I was so happy after I spoke to you. It was the first time I laughed in a few in a year.
Oh, well, then I'm going to make sure Grandma Helen, you're going to be on my Rolodex now, if that's okay. I might have to call you, okay?
Anytime.
Oh, my goodness. So I just want to tell you, love, I think right now, you know, love is so important for all of us. We're in the pandemic. You're in New Jersey, right?
Correct.
Tell us about the weather and what it's like for you right now. And we can all, we're all in different regions of the country.
33 degrees.
Whoa, those are good numbers. Those are some good safety.
And a lot of snow outside.
Yes. So we've got your grandson here. And we're all in warm weather. So we're sending
him sunshine.
Yes. I'm in San Diego. We're sending warmer weather to you, Grandma.
Hi, Howard. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Grandma Helen, can you tell us a little bit? I met your grandson through kind of mutual interest of service and health and well-being. And do you want to tell like a fun story about Howard right now or something fun?
Oh, geez.
Oh, he was always a surprise. You never knew what he was going to do next. And I was in his movie. That was my debut.
What?
Oh, yes.
Shut up and kiss me? You were in it?
Yes, I was on the boat with all the senior citizens.
Oh, my God.
And we were stealing the Sweet and Low and putting it in our bra. Like the seniors do when they go to the restaurant, they say it's on the table so we could take it.
Oh my God, I love it. It is so much fun. Oh my gosh. So, Howard, do you want to share a story about Grandma Helen? Since we're doing a little roasting. I didn't even know this. Okay, so did you survive the film? Did you have to give out any autographs or anything?
No, but I met all those people, and it was an interesting situation for me. I was never there with all the makeup people, and this one, and when everybody was running around me. It was a lot of fun. His mother and dad were in it with me.
Oh, I love that.
The three of us, and then they had some extras who knew what they were doing. We didn't know what we were doing. We were having fun.
They were great. That was a shining star experience to have her in the movie.
Yeah.
Yes. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was my first big screen debut, and this is my second.
The sky's the limit, Grandma Helen.
Oh, my goodness.
That's right. So we have another film right
who
now.
Who else is there beside Howard?
Kathleen O'Toole. I told you about her yesterday. Kathleen and I, she's, I'm going to let Howard, well, Howard actually knew about Kathleen's, the station that she was doing the news on in Florida. So Kathleen.
Yeah, she said I saw her once because I used to go down every winter for about a month until this last year.
That's what we call it.
Howard's mother and father.
You're what we call a snowbird, Grandma Helen. You're the best kind of bird.
Oh, I flew down.
Just like a bird, south for the sun.
Right.
So I think one of the reasons why you can kind of hear it in the energy of all of us, I'm just so excited because we all value love and family so much. And I've known Kathleen since we were 10, Grandma Helen.
Where's Kathleen?
I'm right here. Yeah. Denise and I grew up in Chicago together.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear her? I want to make sure you can hear her. We grew up in the Chicago area together. And I know you were telling me yesterday when we spoke about some of your great childhood friends. And Howard prepared he loves you so much. We're going to put this in the show notes. Your grandson honored you like you would not believe some of the fun facts about you. Is it okay if I let him say some of the highlights of what he put in that about you? He like the love and reverence he has for you. Not only could I see it in the pictures he sent when the two of you were together, but I can feel it in his words and energy. So if it's okay, I know you're a straight shooter. You told me you would say no to things if you didn't like it, right?
Right.
Do I have your permission for Howard to kind of give you some accolades right now and just tell a little bit about you and like his love
I'd
of you?
I'd love to hear it.
Okay. Go for it.
Well, for starters, you know, I will say my grandma has, you know, very much, you know, shaped my life and, you know, given me a great foundation and, you know, given me a lot of inspiration for, you know, appreciating and being grateful for what I do have. She, you know, her parents, which I was alive and actually knew my great grandmother very, very well when grandma came down to Florida. My great grandmother lived down there. Her mom, Ida, I had a great grandmother till I was 30 years old.
Wow.
Wow. That's some genes, Howard.
We were long livers. Mom lived till 95.
Oh, I love that. Long livers. I love words. I'm going to borrow that from you.
And then she just fell asleep and didn't wake up.
Oh.
Unfortunately, she was blind, totally blind for 7 years. But other than that, you wouldn't know she was full of spit and fire.
Just like you.
Not quite.
Yep. No.
Okay, Howard, I'm sorry if I interrupted you.
Yeah, so, you know, my great-grandmother, even though, you know, she had the issue with her sight being compromised, she always smiled. She was always full of joy and a lot of moxie, like my grandma. So I heard stories growing up that, you know, my grandma, this is in the Bronx, New York, and she had two brothers, that they were poor. They came from immigrants. They had to work hard to get ahead. My great-grandfather worked in a clothing factory where it was on an assembly line, and his job, well, Grandma, you tell it. What was Grandpa's job?
His job was to make the loops that the men put their belt through on the pants. And he got a penny apiece. We were three kids, a mom and dad, and we had three relatives living with us. And dad made $12 a week, and we always had food on the table. I don't know, my mother was able to stretch a pound of food for 10 people.
$12 a week.
And I ate a lot of potatoes.
Yeah, I misunderstood. I thought she was telling me $12 an hour when I was a kid. It was $12 a week.
Yeah, so Howard said he wouldn't take the job when he was little.
Very cheeky, Howard.
He had a family who didn't take that job.
That's right. So what Grandma would tell us, it was, you know, five of them in the family and then three extended family relatives. So that was eight people. And Grandma, how big was the apartment?
Two bedrooms and one bathroom.
Wow.
Eight adults shared one bathroom. How did you manage?
As girls, we couldn't fool around with our hair. We were told to go in and do what we had to do and get out.
There was a time limit on showers?
It was fast showers we took.
Yes.
Because there were people standing online.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was fun. We loved each other. We always had fun. We laughed. That was the way of life. And we accepted it.
And no telephone. No telephone. No TV. Certainly no internet.
Oh, I didn't have a telephone until I got married.
Wow.
Now, Grandma, what did you, if someone tried to reach you, if they wanted to call you, how'd they get a hold of you?
Somebody wanted to reach me. They would call the candy store on the corner. And there were little kids that would stay there, and they would answer the phone and take a message and run to the house, and I'd give them a penny a tip.
Ah.
They'd tell me that such and such young man called. He would like to take me out Wednesday night. I gave them a nickel for the phone call to return the call to say yes or no. That was the way of life. And all my friends did the same. We didn't think it was different.
Of course.
And we were happy.
Yeah. I love that. And tell us about some of the creative toys that the kids had. Howard was explaining how there was so much joy and happiness in the home.
Oh, we always had, my aunts and uncles all played instruments and sang. And every Sunday we went to Grandma's house for dinner. Grandma had pots. I used to ask if she's cooking for the army. I never saw such a big pot. And she spread out the table, and we must have been, she was six kids, two, eight, and five, 13. We were 14, the immediate family, and then the doorbell would ring because they knew Grandma had good food, and in came friends, and she said, come on in, sit down. And there was never an end to the food. The pot was always full. And it was love, and she gave it with love. Mm. They love coming to Grandma Sunday.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful. Let me ask Kathleen. Kathleen, do you have a memory you want to share about one of your grandparents? Maybe that would be fun for Grandma to hear and for Howard to hear.
Well, Kathleen from Chicago?
Yes. So my grandparents, two of them were born and raised in Ireland. And the, you know how it is with immigrant relatives, Grandma Helen, that to us little kids, they seem a little off. You know, they're just like their ways and their customs are a little bit different than. So my grandparents from Ireland, like my grandmother was always cooking something bizarre on the stove, like pickled pig's feet and things like that. When a little girl in Chicago was like, oh, like, you know, and my grandfather, he did a lot of instrument playing. Just like you said, he played the fiddle because he brought it from Ireland. But also too, I remember how much he worked. The man was working every bit of the, he had three different jobs and he just rotated each job throughout the day. And he was always sleeping in the day because he worked at night. And you know what my grandpa O'Toole said to my father? He said, very dramatic in the Irish way, he said, I hope you have as much fun spending my money as I had a earning it. Making it. Yeah. I can't do the Irish accent anymore, but he just, it was all about work. And he also, right. You know, in terms of food, like he would go down to the Chicago River and with a pole and he would catch them dinner. And my dad would say, oh my God, this fish had so many bones. I would have to pick through, you know, so that I wouldn't like swallow one and it would cut my throat. And he was like, it would take forever to eat. But my grandfather came from Ireland with literally nothing but an address and took care of everyone so well. And you know that. I know that your parents emigrated. And if you'd like to share a little bit about that, I love the story about when you
came and he was 18 years old and he just had some neighbors or friends that left his country. And he came here, and you had to have $25. He came in 1914, okay. So he would become a street person. His parents didn't have $25, so they borrowed it from a neighbor and told him he must, when he arrived, go immediately to the bank and send it back, because he promised the people that they'd get it back within a certain time. He was left penniless, but he saw them selling bananas, and he never saw a banana before in his life. Right. And everyone was buying him, and he didn't have it. So he took from the $25 out of 5 cents to buy a banana, and he ate it with the shell because he wasn't wasting any part of it.
Wow.
And then he sent back $24.95 to his mother. And then he had some neighbors that lived here that were in America already, and he had their address, so he went to visit them. And they told him he has to get a job. He was going to stay with them a night. They put two chairs together and a pillow, and that's where he slept. And he paid them 25 cents a day for that and dinner. Mm. And they wrote on a piece of paper, help wanted. And then he walked the streets because he couldn't speak English. And the first sign he saw help wanted, he went in and they said to him, could you sew on a machine? He said, yes, sit down. And I used to say to him, but Dad, how did you know it was a legitimate place? You could have walked. He says, I didn't. But I have to get a job because I had to bring home 25 cents to pay this lady so I could sleep and have dinner.
Wow.
And he stayed there for about a month or two to save up a little so that he could take an apartment, you know, with somebody who had a house. They rented out the floor. He didn't have a bed. They all have lots of kids. But he was always happy, always with a smile, never complained, just kept telling us. These were our bedtime stories when my brothers and I would get into bed instead of reading a book, which we didn't have because we couldn't afford it. He would tell us stories from when he was little and back home. We heard these stories 100 times, but every night we would say to him, tell us that story, tell us this story. We would kept repeating it because we found it hard to believe. And yet we knew Dad didn't lie. But we couldn't believe that people live that way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm thinking and hearing? When I think of Kathleen's family playing music, yours, and going back to some of my childhood memories, there's so much more time for imagination and creativity without the electronics. And I'm wondering how much that also influenced your grandson, Howard, with his creative mind. Howard, how much of an influence? Tell us a little bit about your entrepreneur spirit and maybe creativity with all this, because it seems like your family had so much laughter and love that sort of bred this kind of creativity and also the hard work ethic.
It was a tremendous influence. So I just learned so much from my elder relatives and certainly my grandmother. Like I mentioned before, you know, her and my grandfather, you know, having their wedding ring manufacturing business in New York City. I really learned a lot by being part of that, and you know, as they had me staying with them and working with them in the business each summer as a teenager. And you know, I consider entrepreneurship an extension of being creative. So I, you know, have with my health and wellness clinics, I have two of them. You know, that's my entrepreneurship side, but being creative and doing film and the children's book is, you know, entrepreneurial and creative as well. So I really think it has sprouted from the family that I come from.
Grandma Helen, you said you were the first one to get the book Wings to Fly.
Oh, I was very surprised and very interested in the topic because I approve of it. I think that everybody should be treated equal. Whatever you have or don't have is unimportant. It's the kind of person you are. And that's how I looked for friends all my life. I didn't care if they were rich or poor. Finally, when I was married, I lived much better. I owned a house. I never cared for the person who has a bigger house or the bigger car or whatever. I just wanted to know that they were the kind of person that had love in their heart, that would help you if you needed. Just wasn't gimme gimme, but they gave. And that's the kind of people I like.
Well, you know what I love about that? I feel like love is energy and it fuels our soul. And, you know, your grandson went on to say that you had quite the social life before the pandemic. Do you want to tell us about that?
Well, I had a lot of friends. I moved here. It was unfortunate. My husband died 4 days before I was supposed to move.
What's your husband?
Three wonderful daughters. I don't know what I would have done because I wasn't fully packed. And I was in a state of shock. This man was never sick a day in his life. I thought he'd live till 105. And he had a massive heart attack. I went out shopping, came home and found him dead on the floor. And then I was moving next week.
Can we just pause? What's your beloved husband's name?
Bernard.
I just want to pause and send love of that memory, love of your husband. Love of your family. And also, you know,
I moved here all alone and I never lived in New Jersey. I didn't know a soul. I didn't know the name of the street next block. And I sat in the house for 1 month and I cried. And then I said to myself, Helen, if you don't, we have a clubhouse. If you don't get out to meet people, they're not going to know you're here. So I got out one night, and it was difficult. And I went into the clubhouse, and I was sitting on the couch all by myself when a nice lady came by and said to me, do you play cards? I said, yes. She said, would you like to join us? It was like God from heaven came down. I said, of course. And they were, she was married. She had a husband. They were wonderful to me. Unfortunately, she's gone. But they took me and showed me where to shop and where to drive. I had a car and I was afraid to go out because I figured I'd never find my way back home. These cars didn't have what they have today.
No GPS system.
That night, I met nice people. Unfortunately, I went through three groups of ladies. They all, unfortunately, either got sick and are in a home or they died. Because, you know, you had to be over 55 to move here. So they were not teenagers.
Sometimes I feel like a teenager and I just hit 50. Is that against the law?
Yes, you can't live here. You can visit me, but you can't stay.
Don't stay too long.
unless I don't tell anyone how old you are.
Okay.
And that was it. And then I met very nice friends. We did things. I went on trips with them, with women. And we went once a month. We used to go to Atlantic City. They had to take bus trips from my community. And we go to Atlantic City. I take $25. That was my goal. And I lost it in 5 minutes, of course. Then we walked on the boardwalk, and life was without a mate. It would have been better, but it was very good. I had a good life. I have no regrets, except being homebound for a year now, which is not my personality. I like to go. I like to be with people. And then the pandemic came.
Mm-hmm.
And next week I'm going for my second shot.
Woohoo!
I have the first, and next Thursday I'm going for my second.
How did you feel? How did you feel when you got your first shot? I just got mine on Friday.
Not at all. I didn't even know I had it. I didn't even see the spot or anything.
I felt very hopeful. Like, okay, I don't know what it's going to look like, but I felt like it was a step in being more like safer, healthier, getting out and about. Are you kind of getting excited about that possibility?
Oh, I'd love to get out and about, but I follow the rules. Whatever they say, they tell you to stay home. And I don't want to get it, and I don't want to give it, so I'm staying in. But hopefully that maybe when the weather gets nicer, spring, I'll get out. I have a very lovely lady living in with me, and she takes me for a car ride if she has to go to the bank or something. I sit in the car, but it's just getting dressed and getting out to get a little fresh air.
I agree with you. Howard and Kathleen, do you guys have some feelings similar to Grandma about the pandemic a little bit? Like, what is your experience? I know it's different. In different states, they have different kind of geographic pandemic realities. It's pretty...
Howard, to go out, you have to wear a mask. And I wouldn't go into a restaurant, but they're 25% full. And you have to sit six feet apart. And, you know, all these same rules, which is fine. But I stay in because I'm not looking for trouble at my age. You know, it's easy to catch it. I don't know where. And so I have a very nice lady that cooks for me, and I'm eating good.
Nice.
They're very smart to do that.
And hopefully spring I'll get out. I have a daughter that lives in New Jersey of my three girls. Oh, she does my shopping and comes every Thursday. So I look forward to Thursdays to see a family member.
Yeah.
And I have wonderful grandchildren. They all call me every day. I get a call from somebody.
Yep.
I have nothing to complain about except that, you know, I don't get out like I used to and don't. I speak to my friends, but we haven't seen each other in weeks, months. And that's the story of my life at the moment.
Yeah. Well, reflecting on when grandma told me she had gotten the vaccine, it, you know, it just is the beginning of life opening back up. And, you know, she told us the story that that her mom was only in the country here for a few years when the pandemic of 1918 happened.
Wow.
Yes, grandma, you said, 1914.
Right. You said that she didn't talk about it that much. They were so happy just to be here, right? And they had gotten
They just told us good things. They never told us bad things. If some relative was not well, they sort of kept it under the radar. And they when there were good things, when people were happy or an occasion or whatever.
No, I wanted to comment on that just from like a wellness and an emotional well-being. I call it generational overlay. I heard Kathleen, when you were saying that your relatives, when there was something wrong, you were kind of told not to talk about it. And we're living in different times. I'm sure you've seen in your decades on Earth times 10. Good job, Helen. But you've seen people change in their communication about health and well-being. Have you seen that throughout the years? I know Kathleen and I were raised kind of in a more stoic home where you talk about, we were from both from the Midwest. And Kathleen, do you want to comment on that? Because
as soon as Grandma Helen said that, I was like, Grandma, that's how it's like the old world mentality in a way. Like, we don't talk about anything that's upsetting. If something bad happens, we kind of just pretend it's not in the room. And that's how my, the family who emigrated were like too. They just, you know, like, we're so grateful. We have so much gratitude. We don't want to dwell on anything. You know, if someone's sick.
That's right. They didn't want to make.
Yep.
They didn't want to worry the children.
Right.
The children to be happy at all times. They didn't want them to have the background they had. They had a worry, and my father would tell us when he was a little boy he had to go out and do chores and bring home maybe 25 cents and give it to his mother so that, because he had, they were four boys and one girl. So they were five kids and his parents. So, and his father was not a big earner. He stayed home and prayed that things would get better.
So, Grandma Helen and Howard, I think since we're like getting to know your life, and I think Kath, can you share like our moment on the steps and like maybe like why our friendship is so special?
So, Grandma Helen, when I was a girl, my sister was born and she was sick with the disease. And my parents told me that I wasn't allowed to tell anybody else. And it's because they couldn't hide the disease from me. It was so apparent, but I wasn't allowed to tell anyone. And I didn't, I listened to them. I was a good girl. They told me not to tell and I didn't. And then finally I got to be a certain age and I realized, you know, my cousins were telling people and I needed like support. So it was Dr. Denise who I turned to at high school. And I said, I have something to tell you. My sister's chronically ill and she will die from this. But I needed the support. And who did I pick? A lady who would eventually become a psychiatrist. I was no dummy either. And she was so compassionate. And so even though we were both young girls, she knew how to be supportive. And I think Dr. Denise asked a question earlier about how like communication has changed. It's like some people tell a little bit too much now, right? They're like telling everybody about what they eat for every meal and taking pictures and putting it on the internet. That's another thing. But I think there's a little bit of an acceptance and you've probably seen it change throughout your life that it's okay to talk about the struggles. It's not it doesn't mean my family's weak or bad or anything like that, that my sister was born sick, you know? I bet you've seen a lot of changes in the communication.
We weren't supposed to talk of anything that was in the family to anybody outside. Today they put it on the internet as soon as it happens.
Well, I find out some things about my own sister on her feed more than I find out from her. So, I hear you. One thing I want
to
say.
My kids called me to tell me about my relatives. That they did this, that, and the other thing. Something that's so unimportant, I can't believe it. But people are ready to tell everybody very personal things, I think.
Well,
years ago, we were warned if we heard something in the house that stays in our house, it doesn't go out to anybody else's kids. And if, God forbid, as a child, you forgot, you told your friend that somebody had a cold, oh, you were punished.
Mm-hmm.
You told something that was in the house which just belongs to us.
You know what's interesting when I'm hearing you talk and thinking about all of us in our talk yesterday, Grandma Helen? By the way, yes. Is it okay? Do you want me to call you Helen or Grandma Helen? Is it what do you
Whatever
prefer?
Whatever you want. Just, okay. Just call me.
I will call you. I promise I will. Oh my gosh. So what I was just thinking, you and I had a really nice discussion yesterday, and what we're talking about is sacred moments, reverence in relationships, love, whether it's a bowl of soup, whether it's listening to a friend. And I remember that day with Kathleen, like when you think about like throughout your life, like what are the moments you remember? I remember the moments where I feel the most connected and the most love to others. And I think we all can relate to that.
What's Kathleen's second name?
My maiden name is O'Toole.
Oh. That's the Irish roots.
What's your name that you go under?
Kathleen O'Toole.
Oh, okay, O'Toole.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
if somebody, my kids are going to, my daughters are going to call, they must be itching for me to get off the phone.
You know,
I have to mention Kathleen too.
Oh,
oh
we'll
yes.
Sure. We'll have Kathleen's going to do, we're going to do a combination.
We'll do a link for your girls.
A link for your girls that explains who Kathy is, who Howard is. But one thing I want to say is that one of the things I'm so passionate about as a doctor and as a mother and as a friend and getting to know Howard and also Kathleen and I keeping this friendship is that I think we need to bridge all the generations and all people, whether your skin color, whatever your skin color is, your sexuality, your background, because people have value at all ages and wisdom. And by the way, you are sharp as a whip.
I weigh in on that? Because as a journalist, I've interviewed thousands of people. And Grandma Helen, I have never spoken to someone of your age who is this, I mean, I'm blown away. I don't know if that's disrespectful or respectful. I don't, it's just the truth. Like I've interviewed people who are, you know, you are like amazing. Can I come and like sit next to you when this is all over? Cause it's like, you've got something going on over there.
Thank you very much.
Well, and by the way, we have this other show called The Ascension Show. And we're going to be doing all different things with live audiences and being super creative. And you might be getting some calls to weigh in. Like, what would Grandma Helen say?
Okay.
You're going to be a straight shooter. You told me yesterday, I don't mess around. Can you tell everyone that? Like, your straight shooter approach? I love it.
Right. I tell you, unfortunately, I say to my daughter here, sometimes she says, Mom, you tell the person what you think. I don't believe in lie. I mean, I wouldn't say anything to hurt you. If I thought you were nice, I wouldn't say you're not nice. But I also wouldn't say you're wonderful because I feel I've been lying. So they always say, Mom, you know, be a little more discreet. I said, once you meet 100, you're allowed to say what you want.
And I think think that that is a strong component of my grandma's good health and dry longevity. She tells it like this.
Hold on. Howard's saying something about you. I want to make sure he says it, then you can say it. Go ahead, Howard.
Oh, no, I just want to add, I think that is a large a tribute to my grandma's good health and spry nature and longevity, that she doesn't hold anything back. She says it like it is, so she doesn't carry any regrets with her.
I love it. I love it. So I want
to... I try not to hurt anyone, but if I think you did something that I didn't think was nice, I would tell you. Doesn't mean you have to change. It's just I'm not going to hold it, and I'm not going to lie and say, oh, that was wonderful. I don't care for color and age or anything. Everybody's a person.
I love it. By the way, Grandma, I'm 50, and I tell people what I think, and sometimes they don't like it either. But I try to stay in integrity, because I think what, like, our words, thoughts, and actions, if all of us just functioned on that.
Say it as nicely as I can if you say something I don't like. I wouldn't say that was terrible or be very mean, but I would tell you that I didn't think it was nice, and that's it, at the end of it.
Perfect. Before we go, I want to see if Howard and Kathleen want to ask you any other questions or anything, because you said something really profound to me yesterday. I want to make sure I share with everyone, but I want to make sure Howard or Kathleen gets anything else, or if you want to say anything.
Howard? Well, yeah,
answer what they asked me.
Well, I just wanted to add something additional that I think is very special about my grandma. So, and you know, back when my grandfather was around, and you know, my grandpa Bernie was just so wonderful. So, you know, he's very much beloved. But my grandma, my grandparents always taught me to be active, and my grandmother always said, I remember from a very young age, to leave things in life to look forward to. So, you know, even though they worked hard, they also played hard, and they would plan grand vacations a year or so beforehand. My grandparents would take trips. This was in the 60s. They would fly to Europe. They would rent a car, and they would drive for 7 weeks throughout the continent. And they did that a few years in a row. So I was inspired hearing that. Yeah. Hearing that as a kid, and I got the travel bug from hearing all those stories. When my grandma was in her 80s, she took these. Grandma, where did you go in your 80s? There were some big vacations you took.
Oh, I went with my friends to Europe. I loved going, took the railroad sleeping car across country through the Rockies.
Nice.
I slept on the car. We had one whole car to ourselves. That was a wonderful trip. The sight of the snow and the animals, and we stopped the little towns that had one store, and that was nice. And oh, I went a lot of places.
You went to China, Israel in later years.
Oh yes, I went with friends. Unfortunately, I went without Grandpa. China was an eye-opener. Of course, they took us. I was there for 3 weeks. And there you needed a mask. The air was brown. And they lived, they took us to areas where I can't even explain how primitive people lived. It was unbelievable. And that was nice. It was interesting, not nice. In Israel, I loved. I always wanted to go back, but somehow I never did. Because I wanted to see how they changed it. Because when I was there, it was pretty rural.
Yep. And in more recent times, my grandma would go out. Yep. She'd go out with a group of ladies once a week. They'd have dinner and a movie. And what she'd always tell me, they didn't talk about their age, and they didn't talk about any health problems. It's a rule that they'd keep. I imagine they probably think my grandma's about 83.
You look great.
We didn't tell the truth. The only times I lied is my age. Because I always had younger friends, and I figured they wouldn't want me. Because I like younger friends. I didn't like 90-year-olds. They just wanted to sit and gossip. That's not my thing.
Oh my gosh, you're like my my new best friend.
Younger friends. So I think if they know how old I am, they'll dump me.
The truth is, they can barely keep up with her.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I kept up with them. I had no problem.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me?
No regrets.
Wow.
Oh, I said they could barely keep up with you.
Good times. But overall, life was good to me.
So, Grandma Helen, so Kathleen and Howard, so, you know, I just want to pause. I'm kind of like, you know, Grandma Helen, I'm a talker and I'm kind of speechless, which is a miracle.
It is an absolute miracle.
it's good to have awareness of your style. So do you think if all goes well with your grandson doing some new movies, do you think you might be game on for making a little surprise appearance if all the stars align?
Well, I could give that a thought.
What certain part to include her in?
We have to get rid of the virus, so I would fly. In order to get to California, I gotta fly.
Or we'll figure it out. We'll bring a crew to you and we'll figure it out. I think that's the other thing we need to do is be flexible of how we're creative and how we play and how we connect. And, you know, I've been doing a lot more shows because I get to meet people that are so inspiring like you and like Howard and like Kathleen. So I think right now when we're in our homes, we just need to have like creative ways to connect. So
Denise, one question I didn't ask you, and if it's too personal, don't answer. Are you a medical doctor?
Oh, I am a medical doctor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm an adult.
Did you ever have a practice?
Oh, I have one. I have a full blown. I just had 7 patients yesterday. And I have, I produce like over 60 shows, and I have a lot of energy, Grandma Helen.
Good, you sound energetic. Okay.
Yeah, you and I, like, I mean, I'm telling you, you're fun. Like, I'm not even kidding you. I'm already thinking how we can include you in the Ascension show for pieces, like, if you want to only, of course. Oh my, do you have other questions you want to ask me?
No, not at the moment. I have one granddaughter who is graduating college, and she wants to be like you.
Oh, well, then give her my number, and I would love to talk with her, help her in any way. And one thing I love about Howard when I met him is I knew how much he loved his family and his wife and his daughter and, like, moving here to San Diego and, like, his passion for health and family. And I was so excited when he sent me a picture of you guys. And I think it's so important too, like, however long we know someone, whether we do business or a movie or a show, like, it's really special. So I'm on your Rolodex. Please give your granddaughter my number.
Okay, just one more question.
Sure.
No, I forgot it.
That's okay.
Oh, where did you graduate? What school did you go to?
Oh, okay. Well, I went to Creighton. It's a Jesuit medical school. And then I did in Omaha, Nebraska. That's where the baseball series is. And then I went to my child psychiatry. I did at UCLA here in where I'm at in Los Angeles.
Oh, your child psychology?
I'm an adult and child integrative psychiatrist. So I was at Emory University for my adult psychiatry during the Olympics. And then I did child psychiatry, and I do both now. I work with ages 4 up to whatever age. And I also, besides, I'm really the doctor that's known for not prescribing if she doesn't need to. And I do a lot of meditation and swimming, and I get lots of creative ideas and holistic health, which is why I'm so excited to know your grandson.
Yes. Also, I got to ask you one more question. If my granddaughter, who is now, she applied to schools for her master's, and if she wants to ask you a question, can she call you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'll give you my number. Do you have my phone number from yesterday?
No, I don't have it. Just a minute. Let me get a pen.
Okay.
I'll give it to her.
Howard's going to give it to you. Because we're going to
might not be. Yeah.
We're going to wrap. Oh, yeah. We're on a show still.
Don't give out your phone number.
You got to post on the show, but boy, Grandma, it's nice. By the way, everyone I love, this is why I love doing this, because I get to know incredible people like this. Yeah. If you ever wonder why I'm doing shows, we're going to call you and tell you it because we're still recording. Let me actually, let's wrap up the show and then I'll give you my number. Wait a second. Okay. Howard and Kathleen, do you guys, Grandma.
I love you, all of you.
We love you too, Grandma Helen.
Love you too, Grandma Helen.
Shout out to everyone. Thanks for listening to this really fun episode. Thank you, Grandma Helen. You inspire us.
Woohoo.
I want to live to 100 now. I want to live to 100 now because of you.
Stand up for everybody.
Okay, bye.
What a pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.